With every election, provincial governments in South Africa traditionally partner with big media houses for in-depth conversations on the state of the province. That is what we are bringing you today, and we thought we would start with South Africa's economic powerhouse, that being Gauteng. Now, Gauteng contributes almost 40% to the national GDP, and hundreds of thousands of people migrate here every year in order to build a better life, as this is seen as the land of milk and honey. However, cost of living continues to suffocate, especially the working and middle class, and service delivery, from my vantage point anyway, seems to be a mess. My name is Hajra Maji. I'm the Business Day political editor, and today we are here in conversation with the Gauteng MEC of Finance, Jacob Mamabolo. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, and thanks for the opportunity.
How's the campaign going?
Well, I must say that we are very much pleased that, work is going on and we're getting good feedback on the ground. And that points out to the fact that, as we have said so many times, the ANC is coming back to continue to build our country and to make it the best place to be.
Now, you heard me chuckle a little bit. And that is because I want to ask you, why should Gauteng residents continue to vote for the ANC? You won by just 50% in 2019.
Yeah.
What are your projections this time around?
You know, what I would like to say to the residents of Gauteng is, and I'm quite confident that you'll agree with me, we have demonstrated beyond any shadow of doubt the level of partnership and trust we have built with the people on many areas where we made clear commitments to do certain things. Quite a lot of them have been done. Those that might still be outstanding, they are good work in progress. And I could give examples of, the partnership we've built with the people, the trust levels we've enhanced with the people. That is why I'm quite confident that the ANC will increase its electoral performance. And I take note of what the polls are estimating and saying, but I'm so confident that we should be able to run the province without any coalition, more than 50%. I think we have done so well that I'm quite confident we'll be able to get that.
So I was at the National Results Center in 2016.
Yeah.
And I remember Zweli Mkhize, the former health minister, former KwaZulu-Natal premier, former close aide to Jacob Zuma, walk in at about 11 or 12 o'clock at night, have a short conversation with the then Deputy Secretary General of the ANC, Jesse Duarte, and the shock of losing Johannesburg and the shock of losing Tshwane dawned upon him in that moment. I put to you, MEC, that the ANC is going to face the same shock in this election because service delivery is a mess. On the roads in Malibongwe, robots don't work. That is a provincial road. I was in Soweto last weekend. It is dirty. I was in Tembisa the weekend before. You have rubbish that's not collected. At a local government level, service delivery, it's just not working. It's like what happened to the Gauteng I used to know.
So let me say the reason why I'm so confident that the ANC will do very well is because there are things that we have done and done so well. And I'll come to some of the issues you are raising. And let me just talk in the period, that short period, sure, that Premier Panyaza Lesufi was appointed.
Very popular.
Yeah,
I will give him that.
Yeah. But also because he's doing a very good job.
Okay.
So let's start.
Yeah.
We said crime is a big issue in the province.
Yeah.
We were going to increase the budget of the Department of Community Safety to beef up, to ensure that we put our resources to strengthen our crime-fighting capacity.
Mm-hmm.
The budget of the department, when we took over in 2022, around October, it was below a billion rand.
Mm-hmm.
As we speak now, that budget is way above, almost reaching 2 billion. And we're going to increase it over the MTF period to make sure that the resources are adequate to improve our crime-fighting capacity. If we look at that, we have made a commitment, we have delivered on that commitment, because we have increased the budget, 700 people employed as crime prevention wardens to build capacity, human capacity on the ground,
and you fight crime. And you found the money for the transmitters in many Gauteng townships.
So even before I come to that, so that's just one issue, but look at the partnerships we have built with the private sector on CCTV cameras. Just look at the drone smart technologies we have brought in to reinforce our capacity to fight crime. Let's go to energy supply. We said we don't have a mandate as the province to get involved in improving the energy supply space, but look at what we have done. We put aside 1.2 billion rands to intervene in that space. We are now able to purchase and supply communities with transformers. There are many communities that did not have electricity.
But you waited a long time. That this has happened, been rolled out in the last year, right? We are now in an election year. Why could it not have been done in 2019 or 2020, before COVID even?
I acknowledge the point.
Yeah.
I acknowledge the point that, you know, it could have been done quite earlier.
Yeah.
That point is acknowledged.
Yeah.
What I'm pleased about, though, is that it has now been done.
Okay.
So let's look at, we said we will find a solution to stabilizing the grid. Partnership with City Power. This month end, we'll be receiving about 100 megawatts to stabilize, to contribute to the grid. 800 megawatts we have appointed 6 independent power producers to build solar farms in Merafong.
Mm-hmm.
And we were waiting for the land agreement with Sibanye Gold Mine.
Yeah.
That is sorted.
Yeah.
So from an energy point of view and what we said, we have kept to that promise. If you just look at another commitment that we have made, job creation, especially amongst youth.
Mm.
We are one province that has championed job creation at a scale never seen before, unprecedented.
But you still have high levels of unemployment, especially in our townships. You only need to go in and just talk to ordinary people, and they will tell you no one is employed in their households and they're relying on social welfare.
Yes. We have not completely reach out to everybody. We have not eliminated unemployment. Unemployment is still a big problem.
Yeah.
But it is a fact, undisputable, that this province has championed a very good program, innovatively, creatively called Nasi Spanning,
mm-hmm.
to respond to the outcry of the youth. Where's employment? Where's the job? Here it is. So does it mean we have eradicated and completely dealt with unemployment? No. But at least people can now see that here are people, just 7,000 in community safety itself has done wonders. I mean, the 700 we have done. And the many employment opportunities we have created. So what I'm saying is we have not yet reached everybody. But at least let's agree. On job creation, we have set the benchmark. If you look at national government, the Minister of Labour was here. Partnership with us as a province to create more job opportunities.
I'm saying to you, it is too little, too late. And politicians and governing parties in South Africa live in a world far removed from reality. And you may well be shocked after the election. You disagree, you have every right to. But the lived experience is that politicians are far removed from reality. Where the hell is the Gauteng I used to know? Where Rosebank and Sandton were the center of economic development, where Soweto was a symbol for democratic South Africa and how far we had come. Outside Winnie Mandela's house the morning after she passed away, the grass was long, the lights were not working. Townships today devastated by electricity and water issues and sanitation issues. So how can you say, MEC, that you are confident?
So let me continue. I think the issues that I've mentioned thus far.
Yeah.
On fighting crime, on creating jobs,
yeah,
especially for the youth,
yeah,
issues relating to our intervention on energy.
Yeah,
I think on those issues, we have said,
yeah,
we were going to bring great relief to the people to decommission ETOLs.
Yes,
we have achieved that.
Yes, and you were at the forefront of that battle from the start.
The people were in the forefront. Mm-hmm. So it's a victory of the people. Mm-hmm. So let's go to the issues you are raising now. Cleanliness of our townships,
yeah,
let's say the province.
Yeah.
The premier of the province spoke about that issue and mm-hmm. said, the model we have used with city power, it's a model we are now going to use to partner with local government to put our own money as a province mm-hmm. to make sure that we clean the province.
Mm-hmm.
This is a commitment that the Premier made this year mm-hmm. when he was delivering the State of the yes. Province address.
Yes.
What does that mean? It means we are not in denial mm. that there are areas where we have not done well.
Mm-hmm.
If that area was good, we would have not made an extraordinary commitment to put in place an unprecedented measure where the province now has to bring its own budget mm-hmm. to intervene in making sure that the province is clean. And let me say to you the benchmark. I have had the privilege when I was MEC of Human Settlement mm-hmm. to partner with Pick It Up in the city of Joburg mm-hmm. to do cleaning in Becker style
mm-hmm.
when it was worse.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you the intervention we made there was very good. Unfortunately, that program was not sustained, particularly when the Democratic Alliance came into power. City power, Pick It Up was stopped from continuing with the program.
I'm going to interrupt you just on this point. When the DA came into power in under coalition in the city of Johannesburg in 2016, do you think that was a watershed moment in terms of the Gauteng we used to live in and the Gauteng we now live in, or the Joburg we now live in? Was it a DA problem, or was there just no money left for service delivery when the ANC left office in the city of Joburg?
I can say to you that I've had the privilege of being the MEC of Cocktail, and I can say this without any doubt.
Yes.
That the city of Joburg and the ANC government had a very good balance sheet, had good programs of public employment initiatives that were running in different parts of the city of Joburg. And the city was much more better and stable. The city of Tshwane used to have programs like rollout of Wi-Fi to the youth, to communities, building, creating infrastructure for a digital economy.
And Rea Vaya was successful in Joburg. Was successful.
So the Democratic Alliance came. Look at where the city of Tshwane is now. I am the MEC of Finance. I can say to the people of the province that the city of Tshwane doesn't comply with anything that we request in terms of financial issues, the Auditor General's issues. They've just slightly now got a little bit of an improvement in their finances, but actually that city is worse. So the point I'm trying to make
is, you're saying the DA is the reason service delivery is a mess in Johannesburg, Tshwane, and Ekurhuleni?
The DA, okay, let's go again. Let's look at Ekurhuleni.
Okay.
What they have done to the city of Ekurhuleni. The protests that we saw in Tembisa under the DA protesting about poor service, we have never seen them when the ANC was running that municipality. The rating agencies, what they are saying about city of Ekurhuleni, its audit has declined for the first time in many years. Now, the point I'm making to the people of Gauteng is this, is that the negative impact that has been created in these localities, in the local spaces, by inefficiencies, poor governance, poor leadership of the DA administration has contributed immensely to the challenges that you are seeing. Just look at the capital city now. It's one of the dirtiest cities in the province. It has never been there.
So are you saying that where the DA governs, it doesn't govern better, and Cape Town may be, and Cape Town and Midvale may be two examples that have not followed the rest in Gauteng?
You know, we do give credit where credit is due.
Yeah.
Even the Premier was on record saying, myself,
yeah,
we have clearly said, in Midvale,
yeah,
we are seeing best practices.
Yeah.
Okay? Good governance.
Yeah. Under Bongani Boloi.
We have not denied that. Yeah. They get sustained, clean audits. Yeah. We have not denied that.
Yeah.
But let me say this to you. As the SACP and the Alliance in Midvale,
yeah,
we are planning a march to the municipality. Because that municipality tends to neglect the areas of the farm workers and townships in Midvale. We are going to be staging a protest. But with respect to other indicators, like running the books properly, like good governance, yes.
Okay.
But extending service deliveries.
Yeah.
If we just go to one of the major townships there in Midvale, you will see that the municipality is not servicing those townships and, of course, the farming communities. But be that as may, we have still said, okay, there's a pocket of best practice here. So, but that does not take away the severity of, the level of just poor governance, maladministration, poor. I mean, look at the fires that the state of the CBDs, even under the DA, coalition.
So why did the ANC EFF take over nothing left for service delivery?
Let me make the point. I think you were asking me, why am I so confident that the ANC will make a decisive turn on its electoral outcomes? And I want to conclude it by saying, whilst we have made good on the commitments we have made,
yes,
whilst I have considered and agreed with you that there are still pockets of inefficiencies, of difficulty and problems, but the people have seen what DA coalitions can do. They have seen it in the city of Tshwane. They have seen it in the city of Joburg. They have seen it in the city of Ekurhuleni. They will not go back to that. And that is why the people are looking forward to a decisive ANC victory. Look at the president of the ANC when he's campaigning around Joburg. Just look at the last engagement he had in the city of Joburg.
Yeah, Cosmo City.
The numbers were overwhelmingly high. We have never seen something like that. That tells you the people have seen, and the people have seen that the DA was lying. And the DA misled them. And now the people are back. The people are having confidence in the ANC. They can see what we are doing. And they don't want any form of poor governance brought up by coalitions. So we're going to win this province decisively because of the lived experiences of the people.
Should the ANC be re-elected into government after May 29th with a decisive victory as you hope for? Will you fund all of Paniaza Lesufi's election promises? Because there have been many. Where do you find the money?
Yeah, I want to clarify this issue. That, first let me say this. There is no commitment, public announcement, that Premier Paniaza Lesufi has made that we have not financed or supported with money in the province without printing money.
Okay.
The reason being that the announcements that the Premier makes are announcements on some of the things that would have been doing, but not doing them better.
Yes.
On the new areas, completely new areas,
yes,
we rework our budget, reprioritize, and redirect it to those areas.
So education subsidies and job subsidies have been and will be funded under an ANC government?
under the ANC government, we will continue
yeah.
with the announcements that we have made. Some of them, you said they came too late, but we are going to continue. That is why if you look at the state of the province addressed by the Premier,
yeah.
it continues on a trajectory
yeah.
of coming very close to the living experiences of the people. Like, we are going to now clean the cities in partnership with the municipalities. So the resources for that,
yeah.
where do we get them from? So in this province, we are very fortunate that we raise a good amount of our own revenue to finance some of these priorities.
Where are you going to, because you rely on an allocation from national government, you don't collect taxes as a provincial government, where are you going to find the money?
In the budget speech, we have penciled in 8 billion of our yes. own revenue in one financial year.
Yeah.
It used to be at 7 billion.
Yeah.
We have increased it,
yeah.
and now we are saying we're projecting it to go to about 8 billion
yeah.
of our own revenue.
Yeah.
And that does not include
yeah.
the new areas we have identified for increasing the revenue base. So the point I want to make is this, is we just reprioritize the budget. I get a lot of people saying, oh, MEC, is this province broke? We have reduced the deficit in this province. When I delivered the budget,
yeah.
the deficit was that we're having was at around 5 billion when we came in.
Mm-hmm.
We have reduced it with 50%. And now in the next financial year, we are estimating that we'll be at about 600 million. Reducing it drastically. So we just reprioritize the budget. We work it differently and we move money here and there and we increase our own provincial revenue without talking about the equitable share and the conditional grants.
When the ANC lost political power in Gauteng and Joburg in 2016, was there any attempt to get the buy-in of the opposition who are the leaders of government in that province for this economic vision? Because even business was excited about that economic vision, but it just faded away.
I had the privilege to see Mayor David Makura, MEC of Human Settlement.
Mm.
We unveiled one of the best plans of mega human settlements and building smart cities.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the concept of Lanseria City, it come from there when we said we need, we even, to actually the strategic concept that Premier David Makura spoke about was called the Gauteng City Region,
I'm sorry to interrupt you, yeah. but on Lanseria, are we getting the Gautrain extension?
The routes for the extension of Gautrain include
Lanseria,
but the year
yeah.
Could just be, maybe not in the immediate next year or so, but is in the, there is, I can say that confidently.
Okay.
There is going to be an extension of Gautrain to Lanseria,
yeah.
which is going to have a huge impact in that space.
Okay, continue
so
on
smart cities. The point I was making was the idea of building, like in the Vaal, we were talking about the Vaal River City,
yeah.
just to give a few examples. Now, the difficulty with that, okay, let me add another one. Building special economic zones,
yes.
SEZs,
yes.
which were critical to build a layer of manufacturing to boost economic growth in the mm-hmm. province. So there were mega human settlements. Mm. There were huge ideas around special economic development zones. With special economic development zones, they didn't die. Look at the automotive sector in Tshwane, both in Rosslyn and Fort in Mamelodi.
Mm.
And look at, because that is, those two are the best standalone success of the interventions that were brought in by the concept of special economic development zone. Around OR Tambo, we built what we call the manufacturing precinct for jewelry. I personally visited that precinct last year. What I saw there was quite amazing, how government has given land, bulk infrastructure, and attracted the best to come and do investment. There's a gold refinery and food processing, massive a facility for food. So these ideas didn't, and I can go on about
But at national level, you need Transnet to work for the economic corridors to work because you need to get goods to the ports.
Yeah,
and you also need the buy-in of local government. So can it work without the three spheres of government being run by the same political party?
So let me answer it in this way. So when we look at some of the mega human settlement projects,
yeah,
they were dependent on a grant that we call the Urban Settlement Grant.
Yeah.
I mean, Urban Settlement Development Grant,
yeah,
the USDG,
yeah,
which is run by metros.
Yeah.
And in the changes that happened, let's take, for example, Mashaba when they came.
Mm.
The attitude they brought was, these are ANC initiatives.
Mm.
And you needed that grant to support a park infrastructure to roll them out.
Mm.
Now, when this change of leadership with people who then want to reinvent and start a new thing and do their own things to brand themselves, obviously you are bringing a disruption. So we must concede that to a large extent, there has been challenges in the allocation of resources that we needed to pick up the bulk infrastructure. The one in Tshwane, for example, as he said, was already advanced.
Mm-hmm.
And it was at a point where the DA couldn't have returned it to any... It was already quite advanced. So yes, the disruptions that came with these coalitions of disasters, of mismanagement, has had an impact on some of those ideas.
There's a trust deficit between the ANC and the people of Gauteng.
I'm coming to that.
Okay.
I'll come to that. We have always said in this province that there were certain matters,
yeah,
that were... Remember, Gauteng is the mirror image of national dynamics.
Yeah.
And when there are challenges nationally,
yeah,
some of them not really related to Gauteng, and that came during, had an impact on an election, which were not necessarily coming from the province. Yes, we did have problems and challenges.
Are you talking about former President Jacob Zuma and his being
on the
posters ahead of elections in 2016?
There were challenges that happened.
Yeah.
That had an impact, because Gauteng is a microcosm of national dynamics.
Yes.
That's where I want to leave it.
Okay.
The trust that you're talking about with the people.
Yeah.
Of course, when those projects had not yet taken off the ground.
Mm.
So when there were changes in political leadership and some of those initiatives took a backseat. But look at what is happening now. We're bringing them back. If you just look at the expansion we're doing in the Vaal on SEZ, in the Western SEZ, MEC Mutara is very clear on investing and leading those initiatives. MEC Mutara has appointed a transition advisor,
yeah,
to map for us the Lanseria city.
Okay.
And once you put a transition advisor, what you are doing is you want to actually establish a PMO, which will be that NEF center of coordination for land owners, for infrastructure park that is needed. All key players will be brought under that to develop that area. So we are continuing with this, but at least thanks, the people have seen what really comes to when the ANC, for one reason or another, has not been given the opportunity to lead. And remember, experience is the best lesson. And I can assure you, the people will never go back to those lived experiences under the Democratic Alliance of wiping out good things that were there. So that is why we are confident that the mess of the DA is what people have seen. And that is why when you look at the Premier, when you look at the President, and I don't think that the popularity of the Premier is essentially about him as a person. It's a popularity of the lived experiences of when the ANC was there and what the ANC under his leadership is doing. I'm quite sure that we are going to make a change. I wanted to make a last point, if you permit me.
Of course, but I do have a last question.
Yeah, I want to make this last point, that the issues about road maintenance, particularly in the municipal roads,
mm,
the Premier said, "We will not sit and fold our arms when the roads are gradually deteriorating. And he directed the Department of Roads and Transport in the province to enter into agreements with some of these municipalities, because remember, they've got a municipal infrastructure grant. So if we are to intervene spending money of the province on their infrastructure, we need some bit of paperwork and agreements to deal with that matter. So we are also going to continue. In Emfuleni, we fixed 22 roads through hardcore rehabilitation of the surface. We are now concluding supply chain to fix 41 roads. We have allocated in the medium-term budget policy statement, 28th November last year, we announced 240 million to add to the 21 roads, to add another 41.
But so the main road I travel on every day is Malibongwe, right?
Yeah.
The majority of the robots on Malibongwe get fixed for 2 days and then are out for 3 months.
I can explain.
And that's a provincial road.
I was the MEC of transport, remember?
Yeah.
I can explain that. What happened with the traffic lights in the city of Joburg?
Yeah.
Is not happening across the other parts of the province.
Okay.
It's only here in the city of Joburg.
Yeah.
And ask yourself why, because some of these provincial roads are inter-municipal. Why only the traffic lights in the city of Joburg?
Yeah.
Let me explain. The province at some point, when relations with municipalities were still good, before these parties of chaos came in, out of trust of the leadership of the municipalities, they were given mandate and they entered agreements to fix the provincial traffic line. Then, when the Democratic Alliance came, there was a dispute between them and SARS, South African Revenue Service, about the Johannesburg Road Agency not having paid SARS its money. Then SARS locked up the account of JRA, which meant the province couldn't transfer money into an account that SARS had basically grounded. We couldn't do transfers of money. When money could not be transferred, all those about a huge number of traffic lights that were under the city given by the province could not receive revenue to be maintained and be serviced. Then that caused a big problem. Then we said to the city, because you have a problem with SARS, can you give us back our assets? But because then that time the DA coalition and the Action SA MEC then of transport, they were so embarrassed that the province wanted its traffic lights back. And then they went out in a public to try to discredit the province. When the simple issue was, we can't pay you, it's understandable you can't service our traffic lights, but please, can we cancel this agreement? And then we take over the provincial traffic lights.